Got several scriptures this morning. Going to spend time in Romans chapter, I should have said 7. We're going to start in 7, go through part of 8. And then you can also go to 1 Peter and hold that for a few verses. And then I've got some verses in between. And between Eric and I think we can keep you in scriptures this morning. We'll start with chapter 7 and verse 14, because when you're talking about flesh, if you're going to be truthful about it, the thing about flesh is you're going to struggle with it. Even when you get saved, you're in this body of flesh. It's like it leaves everything you taught your body how to do when you lived outside of Christ. It still knows how to do that, folks. There's a breadcrumb trail back to those things that never gets eaten. And it's up to you to take responsibility for yourself. In Romans chapter 7, beginning with verse 14, Paul says something, and it's a careful admission, and it's powerful. He said, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal." The word carnal means flesh. I'm sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice, but what I hate, that I do. That right there, it does speak to every one of us. And it should probably speak a little deeper than we let it speak sometimes. Because if we're not careful, we'll come to church and we'll want to feel like everything's okay. And we need to let everybody know that I'm all right. I'm all right. Everything's good. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. How you doing? I'm good. I'm good. "If then I do what I will not do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells." Can you say that this morning? In me, in my flesh, nothing good dwells. Let's say it one more time. In me, in my flesh, nothing good dwells. "For to will is present with me." In other words, I want to. "But how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice." That I practice. Another translation says, "that I do." That I do. That I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. He's not saying I don't know what happened. He's not saying I was just walking along and all of a sudden sin just got a hold of me and there I went and it just drug me over. I didn't know what was happening and it wasn't my fault. I'm not saying that at all. You need to understand that and be clear. He's not saying that at all. He's saying that he's saying this, I'm not always in church on Sunday morning. Or when I'm walking out of church, I'm not going to be back for a week. So my mentality and how I act is not always the same as it is when I'm in church. For 2 hours, we do real good. It's the rest of the week that he's talking about right here. Okay? "I find a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. I'm the guy who wants to do good, but there's this other thing. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man." But like I said, I'm not always at church. "But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind." Say mind. My mind. Up there where most of y'all have hair. I don't. I wore all those follicles out. "And bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members." Say my members. "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Has that ever happened to you? Like I was doing good. I was going to church. I was reading my Bible. I was doing good. And then that thing happened. That thing happened that it's that thing that happened a few weeks ago. And it's that thing that happened a couple months ago. And it's that thing that happened last year. How many of you know you got a thing? I got a thing, you got a thing, we all got a thing. All God's children got a thing. It's something that you got to keep giving back to God. You got to, your dealing with it is only going to be effective when you give it back to God. You don't have enough ability. We can't even recognize the deception enough to stay away from it. And it's there. Okay? Who will deliver me from this body of death? Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? This is the same man writing this a little bit later. He said, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And he's not just talking about all things like I can do anything I want to. I said that, I think, at prayer meeting the other night. You'll see athletes that have Philippians 4, that's the scripture reference, Philippians 4:13 tattooed on their body somewhere. So and they look like this specimen of strength. And it's, as far as tattoos go, it's a cool one. I better be careful. I said that in church. But it's kind of a cool one, it is, to have that scripture. But a lot of times it's taken out of context. Because it's on a guy's bicep as he's knocking somebody out. You see it in slow motion. Yeah. Oh, yeah, no wonder he knocked him out. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I guess he should have got the tattoo put in color. It's just like praying for God's favor at a football game. I mean, God is not divided, and he's not schizophrenic, and he's not a Cowboys fan. I used to always, my dad joke, I'm proud of it, though I came up with my own, you know, because I'm a Clemson Tiger fan. I try to be. Lord, it's hard to be these days. But I told people this. I said, you know why I try to convert you to be a Clemson Tiger fan? Because I know you love God. I just want him to love you back. So I'll leave that alone. But Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Same guy who said, oh, wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Same guy. Saying, two completely different things. He's not crazy. He's human. He's living in flesh like you do. So don't show up here trying to be more holy than we really are. But don't leave here in defeat unless you're trying to do it on your own. Then leave in defeat. But with him, I can do all things. Amen? All right. I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. See, there's still this conundrum going on. And he says this in chapter 8. He says, there is therefore, because of all this, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. So you're going to walk one way, make sure you're walking according to the Spirit, because your flesh will want to take you for a walk too. And condemnation means no one can live there. I was going rabbit hunting, and when you cross the bridge going, I think it's into Union, there's a little house on the side, a lot of Mill Hill houses right there. And this one was especially pitiful. It looked like it was about to fall in. And I saw the cleanest thing on that house was the white piece of paper that was the notice saying that that place was condemned. In other words, by law, no one can live here. And the enemy will try to whisper that into your ear. Christ lives in you, but he don't live in you because he can't live in you because you're too bad. Amen. Does the enemy ever try to hit you up with that one? But the scripture says there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That's why we've got to be in Christ. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. You know that there was a righteous requirement and none of us could meet it. But Jesus could, and he did. And that's what we hold on to, not our righteousness, his. I'm going to cling to it. So this thing about the things that I want to do, I don't do. The things that I don't want to do, that's what I end up doing. That's a very real thing. And all the honest people said, yeah, I don't want anybody to know, but it's a real thing. Where we get in trouble is when we try to measure that with our righteousness. Feeling like that there's something that I could have done. And the other thing that people get in trouble is leaning too heavy on the grace message. I just do anything I want to, and grace has got me covered. No, you understand that he's the God of grace and truth. So you got to have both. And there's got to be the correct mix of both. Because me understanding that my righteousness is not enough, but his is, that makes me cling to his righteousness. That's my way out. That's my ticket out right there, is his righteousness. Because there's this thing that is talking about in the law right here, and it was called the curse of the law. The curse of the law is that you couldn't keep it. Look, Eric, bring up Galatians 3:10. See what it says about the curse of the law. And then be ready with James 2:10. So Galatians 3:10, James 2:10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. So go to James 2:10 and let's explain that out just a little bit further right here. The curse of the law, it says this. For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point, he is guilty of all. So the same guy, Paul, as far as keeping the law, he was almost perfect. But here's the problem with the law. According to Scripture, if you tried to keep the law, but you broke the law in one area, just one, and the law was like 613 laws in the Old Testament, that's a lot of laws. You know, we try to do good with one set of laws, like speed limit 55. How y'all doing with that one? Right? Imagine 613 laws. And you had to keep all of them. And if you broke one of them, though you're just guilty of breaking the one, you're actually guilty of breaking all of them. That's what the curse of the law was. But Jesus came and fulfilled the law. So we're not under the curse anymore. Can someone say, thank you, Jesus? Now here's where it gets interesting. That the righteous requirement of the law might be fulfilled, verse 4, in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to Spirit set their minds on the Spirit. For to be carnally minded or to be fleshly minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the fleshly mind, the carnal mind, is enmity or hatred against God, for it is not subject to the law, nor indeed can be. See, that's why there's this battle that's always going on. They can't get along. They will always be against each other. The flesh and the spirit, they're always going to be against each other. You're not going to read your Bible enough to bring them to peace. You're not going to pray a perfect prayer that brings them to a place of peace inside of you. They're always going to be ripping and tearing for territory inside of you. And the territory is going to be found right here in your mind. Why is it important for your mind to know things? Why is knowledge important? Because this is where it's going to fight. This is where it's going to happen. I say this about the battle for your life, the battle for your soul. It's fought, waged, and it's won or lost right here in your mind. Because whatever you do with these members of your body, you went here first and you followed here to get you there. Oh, yes, you did. It doesn't happen any other way. Like I said a minute ago, there's no accidental. I didn't mean to sin. I just bumped into some sin, I guess. And it just jumped all over me. No. Your mind went there, and your mind is your responsibility. And your flesh will follow what your mind dwells on. Oh, yes, it will. Can anybody say that? Yeah. Verse 8, so then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. That's why there's a scripture that says, depart from me, I never knew you. You fooled everybody else. That's why I can't look at you and judge you, because I don't know, but he does. Right? That's where people get messed up right here. Not judging their own flesh, judging somebody else's flesh. I said that last week. You said you heard what that pastor did, right? Well, I ain't going there no more. That's got no bearing on your future. That's got nothing to do to reduce the responsibility in your life. That doesn't mean because he messed up that you get a pass. Well, the guy that taught me messed up. Well, here's another place of deception. Well, I can just do good all by myself. No, let me tell you what you can do. You can do bad all by yourself. All by yourself. A mark of responsibility and maturity is being able to take responsibility for what I'm capable of doing. Not just what I do, what I'm capable of doing. That means I know that I have a propensity to do wrong right here. So what do? I stay away from that place. I don't flirt with that. I don't go over there near that. That ain't my place. I don't have territory that has marked out control for me. I don't have authority there. He has authority there, and he wants me to stay away from it because he knows my flesh likes that. And when my flesh starts liking something, sin is really close. Failure is really close. Am I talking to anybody or everybody? I'm talking to me. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. That's what's going on when you get a no check in your spirit. It might not be a no for everybody, but for you, it's a no. Everybody's no is not the same. I'm sorry if I'm just breaking up a new revelation to you, but everybody's no isn't the same. If it were, we'd be robots. But everybody's got something that is a bigger no for them than it is somebody else. And you got to be able to realize for yourself, this hasn't worked out for me. hasn't ever worked for me, doesn't show any sign of working for me. I need to stay away from this. And then I need to keep my eye and my mouth off of anybody else that's not having the problem that I had. But I had a problem there, and I hope that they don't. You know the number one thing you can do to pray for somebody if you see them going into a bad place? You can pray for them, number one. And if it bothers you any more than that, go to them. Oh, man. Zero amens on that one. There went the bag of rocks. Last week it was a bag of rocks. I gave another one a try and said, we'll call that one the bag of hammers. So we'll try something else a minute. We'll see if that one drops too. That's what I mean. No amens, but that didn't mean it didn't hit you or the word didn't hit you. I just amen myself. Where's my hanky at? I have to keep a hanky box up here. I have to amen myself sometimes. The mind goes there first. And you got to know that. Where did I say I was going? I said I was going to 1 Peter. Let me look at that real quick. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 9, it says this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, according to his abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Now, you need to understand, before we get to shouting too much, he's not talking about something you get now. He's talking about something you get then. It's on reserve for you. But as long as you're down here, you're going to have to deal with this thing. Reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by God, kept of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. That's so powerful right there. Can you say he's able to keep me? Because if he ain't able to keep you, you are in trouble. You're a bigger mess than any of us thought that you were. But he's able to keep you because his word says that he is. Amen? Stay with me. Salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. And this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Grieved by various trials. That word grieved means to be distressed by various trials. That's some of the stuff that you've got to go through while you're in this fleshly body. That's what he's talking about. Because it will produce in you something that will work all the way to your final salvation. I believe I got saved. You believe you got saved? I also believe I'm being saved. And I believe that one day I'm going to be completely saved. Let me paint it to you like this. A man is drowning. Someone with a great ability to save as a lifeguard throws that man one of those floating donuts, life-saving apparatus. Lifeguard, what's it called? Buoy. Throws them a buoy. Throws it so good it lands right on them. Are they saved? Yes. But it is the beginning of their salvation. Every pull, lifeguard that you pull, is bringing them. What if it's in a storm? Does the storm stop? No. Every time you're pulling them closer. Well, are they saved yet? Yeah, they're being saved. Salvation is taking place, and the goal is to get them all the way in before they panic. What if they're in freezing waters? They've got so much time before their even ability to clasp onto what would save them loses out. This happens in, Baltic Sea, that one up there around Alaska. It's so deadly. It's where those people die from. They fall off the crab boats and immediately they stop everything and try to start saving them immediately because they've only got so many seconds so that their body can even respond to it. Being saved. Being saved. Being saved. Let me read on. That the genuineness, it says that you're going through these trials, that the genuineness of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Whatever I'm going through, there's coming a day when he's going to get glory out of this thing. And I'm this thing, and everything that I've gotten myself into is going to prove the depths of his power to save me. Whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy unexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Did you see that just now? He's saying that there's something that's waiting. It's on reserve for you. And I believe that when I got saved, it started something in me. But I know me, and I'm thankful that I'm being saved. And it talks about this scripture right here. The goal of my faith. This one says the end of your faith. There's also a translation that says the outcome of your faith, the saving of your soul. The end of your faith, the saving of your soul. Because I'm not all the way saved yet, but one day, thank God, I'll be all the way saved. Because that means I won't go back into this anymore. I won't be struggling with any of this stuff anymore. And it does not mean that I fall in and out with God either. That's where his grace comes in to rescue me and helps me and pulls me ever closer to him. Can somebody say amen? So back to Romans chapter 8, we talked about this. I got saved, but my mind got saved. I believe that. My spirit got saved. I meant to say my spirit got saved. According to Romans chapter 12, my mind is being saved, and I take part in that. It says this, Romans chapter 12, I beseech you therefore by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. What is your body supposed to do? What is this flesh supposed to be? It's supposed to be a sacrifice. It's supposed to be a living sacrifice. There's something inside of you that is aware of what's going on. And I will live this body. Even though this body might want to do some other things, I can bring my body and my flesh, according to what else Paul said, into submission. We can do that. It says that you can do that. But he said this, by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. So just look at that one word right there. Acceptable to God. That also means that if we can be acceptable to God, we can also be what? Unacceptable to God. This is through the mercies of God that we present ourselves as being acceptable to God. Through his power, not ours. Somebody say, not mine. Now listen to this. This is your reasonable service or your reasonable act of service. Your rational service. And here's the scripture about my mind. Do not be conformed to this world. How many of you know this world wants to make you a certain way? This world wants to make you think a certain thought, act a certain way, do a certain thing. But according to God, if you do that, you won't please him. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of whose mind? Your mind, my mind, so that I might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Paul was talking about that. He said, me trying to do it on my own, they're saying, yes, I want to do it, but I can't do it. And the things I don't want to do, that's what I end up doing. So how can I do it? Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So that's how, so that you can prove the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That word prove, actually, you know what it means? It's going to mean something totally different than you think. Prove, it means allow. Allow. So that you can allow the good, perfect will of God. In other words, the good, perfect, acceptable will of God is wanting to happen in your life. It's His will that you have that happening in your life. The only thing that will mess it up is, and all the honest people said me. Not them, not him, not her, not them, me. So that I can prove the acceptable, good, and perfect will of God. Because what does Romans 8 say? We were just there. Go down to Romans chapter 8. What does it say about my flesh? You remember when it said a minute ago, it says that the spirit and the flesh are at war against each other and it can't be fixed and it can't be stopped. And they're always going to be at war against each other. And the flesh is enmity against God. It's hatred against God. So what you're wanting to do, your flesh is going to say, I hate that. Your flesh is going to try to come against that with everything it can. But though I'm saved, I live inside this body. And my mind goes where I reasoned it to go. So here I am, a man who's got a spirit that is saved. I got a mind that's being saved. And I live inside a flesh that's not saved. My flesh ain't saved. Is anybody's flesh saved here? Because
come quick, because we need to hear.
We need to hear how you did it, and we won't hear from that because you can't. You remember, just like the curse of the law, you can't keep the law. You can't keep those things. It says this about your flesh in Romans 8:23. It says, not only that, but we have the first fruits, we who also have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly awaiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. That's what Paul was talking about. He said, my body doesn't do it. My body wants to do it, but my body doesn't do it because I live in my body. And he tells an incredible truth when he says, I even want to do these things, but I still don't do them. Isn't that powerful? Does that ring true inside of anybody this morning? But the answer is this, and Paul made these things clear if we dig them out. I'm a saved man, and I'm also being saved. I'm a saved man. In my mind, I know what to do. My flesh doesn't like it. I even inside of me, sometimes I'm just like, God, get me out of this body. Paul said it. He said, oh, wretched man that I am. Who will deliver me from this body of death? Can anybody, do you ever amaze yourself that you're back to praying that same thing that you prayed for before? I'm not trying to hit you hard. His word will hit you hard. I'm back to praying and asking God to forgive me of the thing that He forgave me of before. I'm going to tell you something. If I have to drag that thing all the way to the gates, I will do it. Because my flesh is going to be there until the end. But my mind can go to a place of perfection in Him by the renewing of my mind. And that's not reminding myself what I can do. It's reminding myself of what's already done through Jesus. What He's already done. Christine, will you come? Listen. This is not a message of, see, He just got through preaching, told you couldn't do it. He just got through preaching, telling you that the mess that you were before you got saved, you're still that mess. Now, he's telling you that according to the word, you can do this through Christ who strengthens you. But it'll only be through Christ and not through anything else that you can do. How many of you are thankful that you haven't worn out that lifeline? It mentioned his mercies. And because it's his mercies, you'll never wear out that lifeline. He'll always, yes, thank you, Jesus. That's a good, whoever said, that's a good time to say thank you, Jesus. Can you say thank you, Jesus, for your mercy? It's new every morning. We wear today's mercies out, every one of us. We've all been guilty of it. We've worn his mercies out. But he's God. So those mercies that we wore out today will be new tomorrow morning when we get up. Why? Because he loves us. He loves us. He really does love us. I'm saved. My mind is being saved. My flesh is not saved. My flesh cries out for redemption. It'll come one day. It's on reserve according to his word. I'm going to have a new body. I'm going to have a glorified body, and you are too. And these things that were trials down here won't be where we're going. Can you say thank you, God, for that?
Yes.
That is the teaching that got me from a place of being what I would only call a professional hypocrite. That's the place... That's the message that got inside of me to realize I can make it. And they're not just a bunch of people faking it on Sunday, acting like they can too. I can make it. And they can make it. And we will make it if God helps us. And God will help us if we'll let him help us. Amen?
Amen. Yes.
It's all on me though. And it's all on you. And he will help you with renewed mercies every day for you. It is by his mercy that we are not consumed. Can you say thank you for that, Lord? But by this is how I win it right here. This is how I have a victorious mind, is to renew it. Just it's simple act of obedience. It's obeying what he said. Be not conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I'm telling you, I tried to do what I thought everybody else was doing at church, and I couldn't do it. I'm telling you, I was a kid. I figured out as a kid I couldn't do it. 12, 13 years old. When my flesh started pulling a certain way, I started getting to church and I started feeling convicted. When before it was just all fun, but all of a sudden it hit me. Wait a second, this thing my daddy's preaching, this thing's real. This thing is real. Because I started feeling the result of the corruption of sin that was trying to enter into my life. And sometimes I was letting it. And then I was living like that for a while till I figured out, well, I guess I just do the best I can. And then that judgment thing comes in where, well, I'm doing better than him. I mean, come on. I mean, you know what he did. Does not have any bearing on me standing in front of the Lord for me. Whatever he did, he'll stand in front of the Lord for him, and you won't be there. And you'll get no mercy about anything he did, and no bearing about anything he did. To know this, it set me free from trying to act like something that I knew that I wasn't. When I got that scripture, Paul said, I want to do these things, and I wanted to, but I wasn't getting them done. Instead, I was doing the things I didn't want to do. Can I tell you how guilty that feels? Can I tell you how shameful that feels? Can I tell you how false that feels to come into a house of worship and worship God for something I know I'm messing up in this area. I know I'm messing up. Does anybody understand what I'm talking about? Renewed mind. There's a reason you're here this morning. Something drew you to want to get up and come out and gather with God's people and praise His holy name. Amen. But there was also one that was sitting here waiting for you to get here so he could try to whisper condemnation into you and say, that thing, that thing, that thing. You just need to take authority over that right now and say, Jesus, I'm saved by your blood. And that's the only way I'm saved. My righteousness means nothing, but your righteousness means everything. And I will cling to your performance, because if we base it on mine, it's over. My performance will never be enough, but your performance will always be settled as more than enough. You fulfilled it, Lord, and you did it for each one of us, and we give you praise for it. Now, God, we're going to need help this week in the arena of our minds, because we are still living in this body of flesh. This fleshly body still has desires that do not please you, and they cannot please you. But there's still something inside of us that gets drawn back to that. God, for those things, we thank you that you forgive us, but you're providing a way for us to understand and to know that as our mind is renewed in you, that opens the door for us to please you with our bodies. It's possible, God. You're going to help us do it through your Holy Spirit and through the renewed mind to prove, to allow the perfect will of you, the good and the acceptable will of you. Through your Son, Jesus, we pray. And everybody said, amen.